Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome to Thursday, July 7th show. This is a special day because today is my birthday. Okay, no more singing. You know what I decided this year? That I am no longer going to pretend I don't have birthdays. For many, many, many years, probably since 1977, when my birthday was 7777, which I thought that was the coolest thing ever, I don't think I have embraced the fact that we have birthdays and that we get older. I've lived in fear of the inevitable fact that I age and that birthdays happen. But God's greatest gift to me is my life. And that is celebrated on my birthday. I mean, I might have a second celebration on July 14th, which is my baptism day, my birthday into the church. I might have a second celebration, but today I'm going to celebrate. And you know what birthday gift I would love for you? I'm going to ask you to do something very brave and courageous today. I'd love for you to call in and wish me a happy birthday. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text in as well or post me a message over to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. Again, that's 573-4BREAD-4. If you're listening on the app, I'm pretty sure you can call in right from there. What is the app? You're wondering if you don't have it? Go to breadboxmedia.com and check out the Breadbox Media app. We are working on localization on that app, which is pretty exciting stuff. Pretty soon, you will be able to listen to local content, the community calendar of not only your diocese and your area, perhaps even your parish. Very cool stuff on the horizon. Keep Breadbox Media in your prayers as we just bring to fruition all the plans and the great ideas that we have been mulling and hoping to bring to you. They're all happening. And it's very exciting. Breadboxmedia.com for more information. Hey, another way you can celebrate my birthday is to become a friend of the show. You could also find the link there on breadboxmedia.com. For just $10 or more a month or more, you can become a premium member of A Seeking Heart. Easy for me to say. A premium member. And that includes getting your very own prayer squirrel. Is that the cutest thing in the world, the little prayer squirrels that I have made from this wonderful parishioner at my church? You can be holding a dandelion or heart, depending on which one you prefer. You can also, if you prefer, you can get a rosary bracelet that my friend Laura Lynch and I make. You get extra entries to every giveaway, a monthly Google Hangout the last Wednesday of the month, and some exclusive content coming on my Breadbox Media page. So, friend of the show, check that out, breadboxmedia.com. Check out the app, and come on, call me today, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Don't leave me hanging. Wish me a happy birthday. If you're listening in the podcast, you can tweet me a birthday wish or send me a message always at Allison@breadboxmedia.com or at aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. I love hearing from you. If you have a special book that you would like me to cover, you can always send that there as well. In fact, that's going to have you. If you call in today and you're not sure what to say besides happy birthday, you can share with me your favorite Catholic book, especially if I haven't done it yet. And that could be one of your Catholic authors. We have fiction, nonfiction. I know that Erin McCole Cup has a brand new book that landed today. You can go to fullquiverpublishing.com for more information on that. I should have had the name. It's been, I think it's called Unclaimed. Looks good. All her books look good. So check that out as well. FullQuiverPublishing.com. And one last time, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, and wish me a happy birthday. So yeah, I've always avoided birthdays. I've pretended there weren't happening because of a lot of my anxiety comes around the aging and change. I don't like change, and the fact that life never stops changing. In some ways, that's good. In other ways, that's kind of a stress for me. It's difficulty as I look at different things ending, the babyhoods of my babies. That's kind of hard to realize that they're no longer babies and that you no longer control. Like, what I love the best about having a baby is that you'd strap it into that little car seat or little bouncy chair and you'd put it somewhere. You knew exactly where your child was, what they were doing, and who they were with. What mama doesn't love that control, right? I love that control. I miss that so much. I don't have that control over any of my kids right now. I barely know where they're at, do not know who they're with, and I cannot control what they're doing. I loved control. I'm a control freak. It's a good thing. And watching them grow up is difficult. Watching myself grow up and out is difficult. Though, thanks to Weight Watchers, my good friends purchasing a 3-month membership and getting me in there, I'm a little less of me than I used to be. I was looking at some blogs from just a year ago when I was covering Cravings by Mary Tatoris Post out from Ave Maria Press, one of my favorite books. It was during that time that I started to realize that there were certain foods that are not good for me, not because they made me gain weight, but because they were making me deathly ill, and started to exercise and really start to embrace the life that God has given me. And I guess that's what birthdays are about. It's about celebrating the life that God has given you, looking at your challenges, but yet looking also at the ways that you have overcome them and celebrating those. Today over on my blog, reconciledtoyou.com, it's Small Success Thursday. I love link ups. If you've noticed, most of my blog is linking to other people's wonderful work. And today, Small Success Thursday, I was just looking at some celebrations of the long weekend and all of the eating and temptations that I had, most of which I was able to not indulge in. Last night, I went with my Aunt Cheryl to the Max and Val dancing tour. Don't know if you're a Dancing with the Stars fan. I was not until a few years ago, actually three seasons ago, which I guess is just a year and a half, 2 years ago, when Michael Waltrip, he's a NASCAR driver, went on Dancing with the Stars, and I decided to give it a whirl. But see, I have one of those personalities that once I start watching something, I need to see it to the end, and then I usually become addicted to it. So it's fun. I love the dancing most of the time. I get a little squeamish when I get too provocative. I get a little uncomfortable, but for the most part, it's just beautiful to watch. And so last night, my aunt and I went into Boston to see Max and Val live. It was wonderful. It was wonderful, more honestly, to spend time with her. I don't get to see her very often. So that was nice. Went up for a nice dinner, except for my getting a little lost walking. I did fine driving because I had the GPS, and I tried to use Waze to get me to the restaurant. That didn't work because it was trying to drive me there. FYI, do not use driving apps to walk, especially in the city. That was an epic fail. Ooh, an epic fail number two. Here's a true confession of Allison's. Allison's is Allison at her best, really. So I thought I would be all wise and stuff because with age comes wisdom. And I decided that I would go on the Wang Theater website, find the parking garage that was best, do their pre-parking validation thing where I prepaid for $11 parking. And I thought I was the smartest woman on the planet. I've never done something like that. I was like, oh, that was so forward thinking. It was brilliant. I saved $11 until I went to the wrong parking garage and did not realize I was in the wrong parking garage until after I had parked and come down the 6 floors to the little attendant there to ask him why my little validation thing didn't work on the way into the garage. That should have been what's the word I'm looking for today? That should have been my okay, with age also comes the lack of words. My first indication, I guess we'll go with that there was something wrong, but it didn't work that way. I just parked. Anyway, so instead of saving $11, I spent $22 extra. Brilliant. So much for that money-saving goal, right? Yeah, that doesn't always go my way. I think I've been stuck saying right lately because I told somebody not to say it. You know, it's like one of those self-fulfilling, stay out of the person's business. Let them talk how they talk. If not, you're going to end up stuck with it yourself. And now you see why they like to say it so much. Lesson learned. Speaking of lessons, we are going to dive into Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Scripture by Colleen Mitchell. Love this book. I have just, oh gosh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought it to my attention. It is not available until August 5th, but you can pre-order it now. And honestly, go do it. I can't recommend it enough, especially if you're feeling a little bit like perhaps you just need to know where you are in God's eyes. You know, her chapters include you are a dwelling place of the Most High. You have a voice. You are a witness. You bear no shame. You are known. You are restored. You are made for contentment, as we talked about yesterday. You honor Christ. You can stand tall. You can pray boldly. Your presence matters. And you were made for resurrection joy. Right? Who doesn't? Oh my gosh, I did it again. Who doesn't need to know those things? Okay, so I'm going to take the word right out of my vocabulary and we'll be right back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're celebrating my birthday today. And you can celebrate by calling in 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can also text that number if you prefer not to be on live radio. Or you can send me a message at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. I'm going to adoration tonight, so if you need any prayers, you can include that with your birthday wish. Always happy to pray for you. We're looking this week at Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Scripture, it will be out from Franciscan Media on August 5th, a new book from Colleen Mitchell. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I just love her writing style. It's informative and super engaging. Like, this would be such a great book for a woman's small group study, Bible study, or faith sharing. I love the word faith sharing. That's just when I had Divine Mercy for Moms, I had the authors on. Emily said that, Geminette said that word, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's it. That's the word I've been searching for. Because Bible study just kind of denotes that we're going to be studying the meaning of the scriptures, which is true. Like, we need to do that when we're studying scripture, but there's so much more that's involved in that. Like, how did they speak to you? What the stories are, everybody else's stories, like just that faith share is exactly what it is. It's just faith sharing. So this book is fabulous for that. Each chapter includes opening scripture, the gospel reading or scripture reading that has to do with this phenomenal woman. Well, obviously they'll all be gospel readings because they all have to do with being transformed by Christ. And that's where we find Christ, in the gospels. So the gospel reading followed by a reflection, like a really great, inspiring reflection on God's word and her sharing of her story. Colleen's story is amazing. She is a missionary with her family in Costa Rica. She'll talk all about that tomorrow. St. Bryce Missions, or if you want to know more, they're on Facebook and they have a website as well. And she has a website, Blessed Are the Feet. Oh, you think I would have written it down. But that would be just too trained professionally of me to do such a thing. Blessed Are the Feet. Yes, look it. I actually remembered. Blessed Are the Feet. Wonderful stuff. So we're going to be looking at now the woman transformed by Christ in the scripture, the Anna the prophetess. And this is, so Anna the prophetess, I love this part. When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they, that be Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined to be the fall and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." There also was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, then as a widow, to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. It's Luke 2. Colleen goes on to write, "I had long imagined Anna as a rather pitiful figure in my mind's eye. She was old and decrepit, wrapped in a ragged cloak, and sitting in the temple in a kind of sad dream state, muttering prayers and utterances through eyes clouded with age. I saw her as a holy woman, yes, but not particularly a happy one. But if we look closer at the details that we can glean from this short description, the picture that they reveal is altogether different from those impressions. Anna's not a woman to be pitied. She's not withering away to nothingness on the temple floor while she slowly loses sight of who she once was. Nope. Anna is a woman who lived a full life and who is still living fully with a keen vision and a clear heart." Isn't that beautiful? She is the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. Phanuel means face or vision of God, and Asher means happy or blessed. Anna, too, is a prophet, one chosen to hear and receive messages from the Lord and proclaim them to others. Anna is one who sees, who is given a glimpse of what it is to come from the Lord, and who is charged to pronounce that vision to his people. She is blessed with a vision of God. As I read this, I wonder, what vision of God do I have? Is it clouded or is it clear? Do I come to him with a heart that seeks him as he is, or a heart that seeks him in the way I want him to be? This has been such a year of change and blessings, definitely blessings, but a year of great change in my life. And I wanted all those changes to be instantaneous. One of the women that Colleen talks about, and I was going to wait to talk about, but this keeps coming up. So I'm just going to go to it now, and then I'll go back to Anna, was the woman of Samaria. She's the one that comes to the well. She comes in the middle of the day because she is a woman of a great sin. As you might want to, you could look at it that way. She was a woman of great burden, that she had five husbands, and the man she was with now was not her husband. She was probably looked very scornfully on by the women in the community. And so she'd come to the well in the scorching heat of the day, of midday, because she knew nobody else would be there. But this one day when she comes, who's there but Jesus? And he comes to meet her where she's at, literally and figuratively. And he is going to change her life forever. That's what I love about meeting Christ in our prayer and sacrament and scripture, is that he changes our lives forever. And we can be like Anna, and we can wait for a long time for that to happen. And then he will come to us. He came to her as an infant, the baby Messiah, and she was she knew that prophet, that knowing that he was coming, and she took that amazing moment of seeing Christ with her own eyes, and she told, as it says, anyone who would listen. We're going to see that again in the woman from Samaria. Jesus is going to meet her where she's at. He is going to enter into conversation with her, into relationship with her. He's not going to preach to her. He's going to reveal to her who he is, just like the child was revealed to the woman, to Anna the prophetess. Jesus meets us where we're at. He reveals who he is to us. And yes, we get convicted in certain areas of our life because those areas need to be cleaned, purified. We need to be convicted in them, whether we want to or not. I don't like making all these changes in my financial life. I don't like that I had to admit to my faults and my failings, my greed, my envies, that I had to admit to my faults and my failings to be a good steward of what God had given to me. That hurts. That stinks. I don't like that. But in it, the Lord revealed more to me. He revealed the promise that he had for me, what he was calling me to, and that in answering and being faithful to that call to admit who I am and to walk out of this a new person, to go like the woman of the well and proclaim to others who Jesus is, but first having to clean myself of those of iniquities. And they're not fun. It's difficult. But God calls me to bear no shame, to be clear of those. We come back, we're going to look a lot more at the scriptures. And I'm going to just stay with these two, I think, for today. We're going to stay with Anna the prophetess. I'm going to go back to that. And we're going to go forward with the woman at the well, the Samaritan. And we're going to have Jesus just revealed to us who he is and call us to go further, to go deeper into relationship with him. What a beautiful message, this book. Who does he say you are? Women transformed by Christ in the scriptures. Colleen Mitchell, Franciscan Media, has for us. That's out August 5th. You can pre-order it now. Go to franciscanmedia.com or Amazon, and you can find the links for that. If you still feel inclined, come on, throw a girl a bone. It's my birthday. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Give me a call and wish me a happy birthday. I know you're listening because you tell me all the time you're listening. 573-4BREAD-4. You can text or call or leave me a message at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras over on Facebook. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I know I have warning that the show's coming back live, and I still take a drink of water, and I still didn't finish it on time. So I apologize for that. And it didn't even do the job it was supposed to, which is clear out that stuff. Whatever, voice, whatever. So we're talking today about being transformed by Christ in the scriptures. Oh, I love the scriptures. I love books that give me an opportunity to really dive deeper into them. You know me and my grace trifecta: prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Those are the three ways, just three of the, I mean, many ways that the Lord has given us to embrace grace. I love rhyming. Embracing grace means that we allow God's Holy Spirit to live within us, to dwell within us, and we use that grace, that abundant grace that He has for us, to live holier lives, to follow Him as fully as we can, and to make better choices, to be more clear of what God is calling us to do. Today, I'm looking at two of the chapters of Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Grace. Women transformed by Christ in the scriptures. The first is, you are a witness, Anna the prophetess. And I read that beautiful scripture verse from Luke 2, where we see the baby Jesus brought in for the presentation with his parents. And they give the turtle doves based upon their own poverty and what they have to give. And then we see this beautiful moment where Anna, who has been just serving the Lord, in worshiping Him night and day through prayer and fasting in the temple, receive this incredible blessing of being able to feast her eyes upon the Messiah herself. How amazing is that? And then she goes and she tells just anyone who was in, what does it say, within. At that moment, she began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. How cool is that? Anna is a prophet. She too is a prophet, one chosen to hear and receive messages from the Lord. Colleen Mitchell writes in her book, Who Does He Say You Are? And proclaim them to others. Anna is one who sees, who is given a glimpse of what it is to come from the Lord, and who is charged to pronounce that vision to His holy people. She is blessed with a vision of God. Anna is a woman of vision as well, Colleen continues. She knows that something new is coming. She lives in great hope of that coming. Because of that hope, she spends her days in the discipline of waiting on the Lord and serving His people. Anna waits publicly on the Lord and fasts from things that would cloud her vision of His presence, so that when He reveals Himself, she will be ready to make public proclamation of her grand hope. We do not have to be so different after all, do we, friends? Colleen asks. Which of us, no matter what the physical commitments of our day look like, wouldn't want to be known for spiritual greatness? As a woman of vision who sees clearly what God is doing among His people, and in what does that kind of ability lie? The ability to see clearly. If Anna is our guide, then it lies in a life committed to prayer, to humble service, to being sustained wholly by God, and to being willing, to proclaim publicly His presence to others when it is revealed. Whoa. Are you willing to do that? Do you know how? I don't always know how. I love that we have Anna to turn to. Anna or Anna. I have friends who have both names and pronounce it both, so we'll go with either. So we have Anna, who is this great witness. So to be a great woman of prayer, what does that look like? You know, that's not easy in our day-to-day life. It gets busy. We all have commitments. We have jobs. We have family. Our job could be our family. Sometimes, I mean, think about it. Most women, we are multitaskers. I remember once reading in a woman's magazine, a mom's magazine, way back when my kids were little. It was like a list of all the jobs a wife and a mother, whether you hold both or one of those positions, is called to do. And we're a cook and chauffeur and cleaning lady and accountant. I love that one. You know, from my stories, I would have been fired from that job. I should have been fired from that job. I should be fired from that job. We are nursemaids and caretakers. We are consultants and counselors. The list is huge. You know what you offer to your friends and to your family and to your children. It's a lot. We offer a lot. And then we read these things that say, well, then you need to pray. I love St. Francis de Sales. He says, every person needs to pray for a half an hour each day. Busy people need an hour. We think that if we take time away from our to-do list to pray, then we'll have less time for our to-do lists. So many saints have shown us, Blessed James Alibrioni is one of my favorites. He founded the Daughters of St. Paul. His writing upon time and the multiplication of it when you give God your first fruits of time are just mind-blowingly insightful. He has seen it and he proclaimed it. He taught all the young men that he was in charge of in their priestly, in the seminary, in their priestly discernment. He told them all, give God first fruits and you will be amazed in what you have time to do. He mandated an hour of adoration every single day for all of all the Pauline family. And you would think, oh my goodness, like I have this huge to-do list. How am I going to take an hour out of my day and go sit in quiet contemplation? Well, first of all, let me say adoration, while it's quiet and contemplating, it is not what you think is unproductive. Like my most productive stuff happens in adoration. Some of the most amazing ideas that I've ever had, solving of problems, solutions to problems have been revealed to me in that quiet. Sometimes we get so busy and our brains get so filled with stuff and activity and noise and other people that we can't hear God clearly, can't hear our guardian angel lighting and guiding, enlightening and guarding, ruling and guarding. We can't hear them speaking to us. We can't hear the Spirit trying to move us in the direction God has laid before us. And then we end up going in circles, chasing our tails, and that's not very productive at all. Every morning, no matter how much I have to do, I start with prayer. And sometimes that's a long prayer, and sometimes it's a short prayer, but it's always prayer. Sometimes it's just I've woken up late and I have some place to be. So all I can offer at that moment is, Jesus, I give you this day. Please bless all that I think and do and say. I make sure every first minute of awakeness is given to God. And it takes some practice and you might forget. But once it becomes habit, you'll be amazed. As soon as you're conscious that you have another day here on earth, praise be to God, you can offer it to Him. Some days it's a little longer, and at least once a week, I make a commitment to get to adoration. Adoration is the time where we go and sit before the Blessed Sacrament in a monstrance. It's a big gold, awesome thing. Beautiful holder for our Lord in the sacrament of the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. If you don't have one nearby, you can go and sit before the tabernacle. Give yourself that quiet time. Give yourself permission for that quiet time. There's also, by the way, a virtual adoration website. Well, that's probably not the most optimum, because of course you're still at home or at work or busy, and there's still things calling for your attention all around you. Still better than nothing. And once you start to experience the peace that comes from spending time with Christ, letting him meet you where you're at. Then you will be amazed at the transformation of your time, of your heart. The challenge, Colleen writes, of our busy days and fast-paced world is to make the space to seek clarity of vision. And so perhaps we should fast, not from food like Anna, but by turning away from the things that fill our calendars and our days, our ears and our eyes. Maybe the true fasting that makes both Anna and us women of vision is the fasting that makes space in our fullness, quiet in our noisiness, dependence in our capability. We can imagine, Colleen Mitchell continues, and who does he say you are? We can imagine that if Anna had cultivated the discipline of going through her days in prayer and had tuned her vision so clearly as to always on the lookout for God's promised Messiah, then Anna's arrival at the temple would not be a mere coincidence. Oh, Colleen doesn't call it this, but you know what I'm going to call it? Total Godsidence. That's what I have tried to do in my own life. You know, the signs and the wonders, the fidelity trucks and the butterflies, I don't look at them so that I can be assured that what I want is going to happen. I look at them because I need to know God is real and He is there. And that's tuning my vision to see God. I see it in words. I see it in the books that He sends me in just the right time, even when I didn't even know I was looking for them. They're not mere coincidences. They're Godsidences. And a Godsidence is seeing the world with God in it. We'll be right back with more on Who Does He Say You Are? You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. There's still time to call in and wish me a happy birthday. 573-4-BREAD-4. Now, if you are a podcast listener, first of all, thank you very much. You can get all the archives for A Seeking Heart and all the Breadbox Media shows over on breadboxmedia.podbean.com. And I thank you for that. And if you're a podcast listener and you're listening now and you think, oh, I couldn't call in live to wish you a happy birthday. Hey, anytime, I'll take those birthday wishes. Also, I will offer you a prayer or two in adoration for your thoughtfulness and keeping me in prayer. In fact, that's the gift I would love for my birthday. I've been asking all of the clergy who have posted on my Facebook wall today and wished me a happy birthday. I've written back and said, can I ask a special prayer for a project that I'm working on? Your prayers are just as powerful as the clergy's. I figured though during a mass or two when they're with the Eucharist, they could offer up an extra prayer for this project. Can't wait to share it with you. It's getting closer and closer. I just have a few more T's to cross and I's to dot before I can reveal it. So birthday wish, a prayer for my prodigal son, a prayer for my diaconate formation husband, a prayer for my post-traumatic stressed son, a prayer for my beautiful adopted daughter, Faith, and a prayer for my ministry reconciled to you in this amazing new element, piece of it that's about to be rolled out. That would be just the most wonderful birthday present ever. And anytime you need prayer, please, please, please don't hesitate to ask. A Seeking Heart at breadboxmedia.com or reconciledto.com has a need a prayer link so you can ask anonymously if you wish to keep that way. That's fine with me. I just want to pray for you. And in a way, I do. I mean, I pray for the listeners all the time. I pray for you and for your intention, for your growing in faith. I pray that the show has blessed you, that you too have discovered, like I have, just the amazingness of God to say just the right thing when I need it. I wish I could express that as I am. The show is not scripted. It's planned, but not scripted, which is just like my friend Tiffany Walsh and Christina Trinidad's wonderful new podcast. What a perfect name, planned but not scripted. And that's kind of how I operate. I have the book in front of me and I have things highlighted, but I really let the Holy Spirit speak because only the Holy Spirit knows what you need to hear. Only the Holy Spirit knows what needs to be said that will touch your heart, that will inspire you, grow your faith, bring you comfort, give you peace. I don't have that skill. Only he does. And I'm so grateful that he allows me to be his hands and feet, or his mouth, his voice box in this case. Just another quick look before we end today's segment with Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in Scripture, Franciscan Media, Colleen Mitchell's new book. Colleen will be here tomorrow live all the way from Costa Rica. So excited to share her St. Bryce mission with you and her heart for the Lord, which is just incredible given all the challenges that they have been through. St. Bryce is actually her baby boy who died as an infant for no, you know, sudden infant death. So I really want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow for Colleen Mitchell's amazing interview. We're going to look now back at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And there is an instant, Colleen writes, a demand almost in her voice when the woman says to Jesus, "Give me this water. Fix it, Lord, quickly. Take away the uncomfortable and give me what I want." It is whispered under the surface of her urging, and it is under ours too, is it not? Colleen writes, we see what Jesus has to offer and we want a way out of our misery and we want it now. We are greedy for relief. For over a year now, I have been praying for relief from my physical ailments. I've been praying for relief and from the fear of these physical ailments. And the Lord provided, but it wasn't overnight. And it wasn't miraculous in the fact that I woke up the next day and it was all taken care of. He asked me to work with him. He built up in me character, perseverance, all those wonderful virtues that I need, endurance and prudence, all the wonderful things that I need to be a better follower, a better daughter of Christ, of God. He didn't just miraculously take them away, but he taught me through months and months of prayer, of a revelation from him, of getting out to exercise, to eat better, to sending me the gift of my friends who got me into Weight Watchers. It wasn't overnight, but it is being answered. There was suffering. There's sacrifice that comes with it. I can't keep eating everything I want. Ice cream is not part of my daily diet. It's not even part of my monthly diet. I do sneak one in now and then, but the consequences, I deal with them. But the Lord has taught me this right judgment of the way I eat and what I choose. He's given me the ability to choose, where before I thought I had no choice. I felt a slave to these cravings. But I'm not a slave to them. I'm not a slave to money. I cannot love both God and manna. I will despise one and not the other. I want to love God. I don't want to love money. I don't want my whole life to be ruled by money. And I spent many, many days anxious and worried over the things that I can't control. I can't control that my car is in the shop right now with a mechanical problem. But I can trust that God will provide what I need. In fact, he already has, in the fact that my dad is a motorhead guy and he has lots of great friends who fix cars, and I just have to drop his name and I know that I'm going to get a fair deal. I know that they're going to do a good job, and I'm blessed that I have this ability that, you know, the Lord will provide and what I need to pay for it. And I need not to worry. I need to trust. It didn't happen overnight. The Lord isn't sending me a winning lottery ticket. I'm not going to be the Mega Millionaires winner this week because I haven't bought a ticket. So I can say with all surety, I will not be the Mega Millions winner this week or ever, because, well, I think God could bring that to me as a way of solving. It's not what God is going to do. He's calling on me to trust in Him. He's calling on me to learn and to make better decisions. Because I think, honestly, with my whole heart, even though it's really hard and painful for me to say, that He could have just sent me the money to get me out of debt. And honestly, He has. Through different times in the last 25 years, He has sent windfalls that should have solved the problem. But they didn't, because I didn't learn. I didn't take the blessing of being brought out of the pit of despair and say, okay, I'm not going to do this again. I went, phew, that was close, and never changed. But this time, the Lord sent me John and Evelyn Bean right when I needed them in January. And they sent me Navigating Your Finances God's Way, and then sent me two of them. And we were able to reach out to friends to do it together. It's a wonderful small group Bible study. If you ever get an opportunity, compasscatholic.org for more information. And together we've learned budgeting, and we've learned that there's different ways I can make more income, and there's definitely ways that I can sacrifice and live on less. And it's these that are building in me character, perseverance, I'm a better person because I've had this encounter with Christ. Because you can never have an encounter with Christ and be the same person again. You're going to always be different. And Colleen writes, but Jesus is a slow and patient man, just as He is a slow and patient God. He is a God who chooses transformation over quick fixes and full freedom over half-hearted embraces. So He invites this woman into an intimacy that pierces as it purges. He points out the places inside her that will keep her always thirsty, no matter how much water she pours into her. He pours into her. Life cannot spring from death. And our Jesus cares about our slowly dying souls more than He cares about our public appearance. He wants to heal us, not only from the outside shame that keeps us baking in the public glare, but from the deep personal shame that keeps us gingerly sidestepping our real wounds while we wither within. That's what I was doing. That's what I have been doing. I've been trying to hide the deep-rooted pain with food, with money, with fear, with anxiety, and the Lord wants to heal all of that. He wants me to be the best Allison I can be. He wants you to be the best you can be. He wants to heal us, and He does that through sacrament, prayer, and Scripture. In His Word, He teaches us, and in that teaching, we become we gain the ability to see God in everything. I see God in the Fidelity truck, not because I'm searching for Fidelity trucks, but because I'm searching for God and a sign that He is with me always, and He never leaves me waiting and wanting for Him. He'll leave me waiting for my number on that scale or the great windfall, but He'll never abandon nor forsake me. That's His promise. That's His Word. And I am clinging to it with great hope. And I pray you are as well. Thank you for joining me today on my very special birthday special. Special birthday special? I'm sad that nobody called in, but I'm so happy that I've seen all those messages you're giving to me over on Facebook. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.